Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Yesterday, we got you completely and totally caught up with everything going on in the world of college football, with Penn State anyway. Today, we're going to catch up on what's been going on with Bucknell recruiting on National Signing Day. That'll be coming up at 3:35 with the head coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan. You know, again, he'll join us at 3:35 today on the Steve Jones Show. Winners and losers in signing day. I don't know how you decide who wins and who loses, like, today in signing day, or even yesterday. Most of the sites that do recruiting rankings said Alabama had the best recruiting class, followed by, and again, each one of these may be a little different from site to site, but followed by USC, Florida State, Tennessee, LSU. That's the top five, according to one particular site. Ohio State, UCLA, Clemson, Auburn, and Georgia round out the top 10 as far as the 2015 recruiting. And then if you look on down the 24/7 sports rankings, you'll find Penn State just below Notre Dame. Notre Dame came in 13th, and Penn State came in 14th. But how you decide that based on high school football play, I have not figured that out yet.
Well, it's done on stars and points. I think that's how they do it, Kev. I think, you know.
Well, but even that, star, you know.
Your star. I know. As soon as somebody can tell me the difference between the 10th rated tight end and the 12th rated tight end, then I'll buy in.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's fun to talk about, and it gives us something to chat about, and it gives fans something to chat about as well.
Well, but, you know, I mean, here's the way I look at it. When you look at, okay, X beat out X to get players. So if I see Penn State beat out Ohio State to get a guy, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State, whatever. You're talking about traditionally the top talent evaluators in the country, traditionally, that have shown through performance that they know what they're doing. That, to me, is a bigger part of that than anything. Then, you know, then what do you get by positional balance? And how do you fill out a roster? Do you get yourself too heavy in one area and a little light in another? Then there's some factors you can't count on. You can't, you know, take, for example, Amani Reeves, by the way, fine defensive back for Ohio State. I really like him. Career done. Concussions.
You know, I think it's a little easier. I don't want to say easy, but I think it's a little easier to see the difference between quarterbacks and maybe running backs and receivers. How you tell the difference between, and this is to use the way you did, the number 10 offensive lineman and the number 12 offensive lineman, that's the one that I don't quite understand. I mean, that's got to be the toughest thing to rank as offensive lineman.
But Kevin, here's the part that just everybody seems to discount over and over. I don't care if you're a 5-star or a 3-star. How do you make an adjustment to the next level? How? You're the biggest, fastest, baddest guy out there, and suddenly you're lining up against another guy who, in his school, was the biggest, baddest, fastest guy out there. Suddenly, on an everyday basis, you're facing somebody that might be of comparable talent to you, And if they aren't, maybe slightly less compared to the exponential drop-off you were facing before. How hard do you work in the weight room? How hard do you hit the classroom? How hard do you hit the DVDs with the practice plans on it and the games and things like that? How hard do you hit that part? How hard do you hit the mental part, the study part? How hard do you hit the playbook? How hard do you hit the quickness components? How do you take yourself from someone with tremendous potential, the fancy way of saying you've never done it before, to turning into reality? It's the part a lot of people don't, you know. Hard work is a tremendous separator. And 5 stars is a lot of them do very, very well in college, but it's also no guarantee of going to the NFL.
I was talking to this about this with somebody last night, and the one thing that he said to me is, when did this become an event day? And my answer to that was, you know, that's a really good question, because growing up, we never even heard of National Signing Day or never knew about who was being recruited where. And my comment to that was, the internet brought it, and so did the 24/7 sports networks.
Yeah. I think that in terms of locally, the existence of recruiting was really brought out by Ronnie Christ of the Harrisburg Patriot News back in the 70s, early 80s. And Ronnie was the first one that really tapped into, as a writer, just the where they're going. Not in terms of stars and things like that, but finding out where guys were going, writing about it, what their selections, their choices were, and so forth. You have national recruiting gurus, for the lack of a better term, my apologies, but that work for Scout, that work for Rivals, that work for 24/7. A Phil Gross of Blue White Illustrated, a Tom Lemming. They're people that have done very well with this because they have a lot of people that want to subscribe to what they want to do and how they follow it.
Well, that's
there's
what I say.
Passion, but there's a passion for it out there, and I think it's become a national event because you mentioned about the websites. And, of course, that's an offshoot from what I just talked about. But then when TV got involved with ESPNU, that really, and then ESPN then took it to the next level. They started talking about their top 300. And being in the ESPN top 300 then has become, they've done a great job of promoting it to the point where it becomes a big deal.
Well, and again, no disrespect to any of the writers or any of the people on any of those sites or magazines or anything.
I didn't say anything about it except that they do it.
No. But what I'm going to say is I never even realized the bigger picture of recruiting until, like I said, the availability of the information on the internet. I mean, to me, that information growing up just didn't exist. You know, if you knew somebody being recruited, it was like, wow, that was the only time you ever heard anything about it. But right. Again, and with all of these information sites and sources available and a little more readily available to the average fan like me, it becomes a big moment. That's what I said. That's why my point was the internet for me was the only time I had ever really even followed recruiting because that was the only way I heard about it.
And for me, it then becomes about what I end up seeing, where you see guys out there and you say to yourself, you know what? Well, look at that guy. That guy's got something to him.
Well, that brings up another question that I had. When you're putting together and again, showing my age, when you're putting together a tape and you're of your highlights, you're showing your best highlights. And now with sources like Huddle, which we've talked about many times, you can actually put those together via the internet and send coaches links to your highlight reel. Mm-hmm. How much of, do coaches then go in and try and get access to everything as opposed to just the highlights of a player to get a better picture?
Well, there's a lot more to it than that, though. You really have to somehow figure out how to get to know these people. I mean, you have to develop a relationship with them. You have to find out through people around them what kind of worker he is. You have to find out whether they're a team guy or a me guy. Find out, you know, what kind of influence they are in the locker room, what kind of practice player they are.
So that little snippet there, the highlight reel, just gets you in the door as a coach, for instance.
Part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of it. And, you know, then, as you know, I really don't talk too much about, I don't talk at all about players I haven't seen. I always love that. What do you think? Well, yeah. And so when you saw him, I didn't see him. Oh, okay. That's why I don't really talk about them until I actually see them out there. So I don't, you know, I do not watch highlight reels of them in high school. And you want to know why?
Tell me.
I'm lazy.
not exactly what I was looking for, but okay.
No, because I'm not going to be announcing their game in high school. I'm going to be announcing their game in college, so I want to see them out there in a college practice field against somebody else before I start making an evaluation about what they can and can't do. I these guys go in because of that. Each one of those guys with me goes in with a totally clean slate. I don't have any preconceived notions about what a guy can and can't do. So suddenly I look out there and go, so I don't walk out there, you know, and then you find out later what guys are. I mean, you know, like Paul Posluszny. You're going to tell me Paul Posluszny was a 3-star talent? Really? Really? See, I don't really know who's star, what star. You know, whatever. I ran it down yesterday, but I pretty much, if you would ask me right now what these guys were again, I'd like, I don't know, I'd have to go look it up. Because with me, they start with, boom, let's see what they can do. And there's certain guys you can tell right away, this guy's going to play. First 3 or 4 times I saw Jordan Hill. By the 4th time I saw Jordan Hill, I remember calling Jack up and saying, you know what? Hill kid's going to play. Really. Same thing with Posluszny. You can see right away. Going to play. Now, there are some other guys that you watch, and they're not ready to play. I'll give you a good example from this past season. DeAndre Tompkins went through spring practice, thought he might have a shot, but then in training camp, it was okay. But you know what? By the end of October, Tompkins had put himself in a spot where I'm very confident he's not only going to play, but I think he'll play very well for Penn State. Just took him a little bit longer to develop compared to a guy like Godwin, a guy like Blacknall. Sometimes more time is needed just to get used to the speed of the game, how to do things, be in sync with everybody else, be in sync with being in school. And that's also part of the fun. It's not just the guys you see right away and say, you know what, I think the guy's going to play right away. But also watching the light come on over a process. I think I saw that with him as the season went along last year.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options. auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to be with you. We welcome you back to the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones, Kevin Hur, joined now by the head football coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome back, and great to have you with us.
Good to be back, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Coach, before we get to the recruiting class, it was announced earlier this week that you had signed a contract extension. Everyone has to make decisions that are important in their life as to where they are, what they want to do with it, what impact they want to make. What are the factors that you put together for yourself that said this is the right spot at the right time for Joe Susan?
A lot of it is related to the support that we receive from our administration. And I believe I've said it before, you know, if you as a football coach can unequivocally say that you trust the director of athletics, the deputy director of athletics, and the president of the university, then you have it pretty good. And I can say that without hesitation. And that is important. If you have that, you have a chance to be effective as a recruiter. They can help you recruit. Then you have a chance, obviously, with what we're judged with most in winning football games. But the other thing is that our players have done an outstanding job in the classroom, and I believe in what Bucknell stands for, and the concept of the student-athlete is alive and well on our team. And I'm not worried about the other teams in the league, our team. And I've been here a long time. If you add the 10 years I was here as an assistant, yeah, there is a comfort factor. But when you get comfortable in as a football coach, you got to be careful. And believe me, I'm very comfortable at being uncomfortable, and I create a lot of that on my own. So we will not rest.
Right. Well, that's because you know that what you want to do and accomplish in terms of the field part isn't there yet, but you have it in a direction you have to be very pleased with. How do you feel about the recent foundation that you have laid that will allow you to then take it to a level that you know it can get to?
The group of young men that are in our program now, we had a team meeting the other day, and I told them about our recruits. I said, but we're going to put ourselves in a position to win a championship with the guys in this room. Their work ethic, their understanding of the demands of being a college football player at a university like Bucknell, and what has happened, Steve, is that because they've been brought up in our system, they're great role models for the younger people we bring in, and they understand how it's supposed to be done. We need to prod them a little bit every now and then. But they take the younger guys under their wings and say, no, you do it this way. This is the way they want it. This is the way we're going to do it. And they believe in it. And belief becomes reinforced when you win games on the field. But it's a combination of their work ethic as it relates to what we're trying to get done on the field. And it goes through our entire year, and it starts and stays in our weight room. We actually start our early morning runs tomorrow. If you and Kevin want to stop by at 6 o'clock in the morning, it will get loud, and the good thing is that our kids are excited about it. They've done what they've needed to do in the weight room up till tomorrow. And I told them the other night, got to start moving now. And everybody in the league is doing it, and everybody that we play against is doing it. We just believe in the way we're doing it, and our kids believe in the way we're doing it.
It's not just the strength part of it, it's the agility part of it as well. The injection of that into your system, what has that meant in the development of your team, that you're not just strong, but you're agile now?
Well, I think some of it is the DNA of the young men we've recruited. You know, there's a top end to someone's speed. There's a top end to someone's movement ability. But them embracing it and them understanding it, our strength and conditioning program, and I include the agilities in that, is all football movement based. We don't lift just to get strong. We lift to make sure that we're powerful in specific movements. Then when we incorporate those movements, they see results, and it's a positive reinforcement factor. And being able to change directions, being able to have speed on the field, and it plays into every position that we play. We're not a team that sits back and or an East and West team. And I think that what we do offensively complements our defensively, and the same, and it fits into our special teams. I've said it before, we're a downhill team, and everything we do in terms of how we play, how we approach the game on the field, how we approach the game off the field, they've bought into it, and they believe in it. And once you get them believing it, it makes your job as a coach simpler, because you're not teaching discipline. They come self-disciplined. Mm-hmm. It enables you to do what you're supposed to do, and that's coach the game. But the game goes way beyond X's and O's.
Your recruiting class, it's one thing for me to say, well, what about this guy, that guy? You're trying here to continue to move a program forward. Were you pleased with the positional balance you were able to establish within your recruiting class as to how it fits with your last two recruiting classes?
Very much so. And the way you need to recruit at this level with the academic expectations, but the academic spots we have, the merit aid spots that we have, you have to do so basically like a draft. You can't recruit one at each position every year. And our last year, the previous year, we recruited heavily on defense. We devoted our time and efforts into recruiting more heavily this year on offense, but we still were able to attract some very talented defensive players. And what it does for us is it puts depth into our roster. You don't want to bring in a freshman and say, you're going to play right away. But if they're talented enough, they will. And one of the things that I tell my team every year right after the season is that my job is to out-recruit you. And I feel very confident in that the young men we signed yesterday will help us. Some of them will help us on the field sooner than others. But it's continuing to build a talent base that fits our schemes, and I think we did that very well.
Give me an idea what work ethic, Joe, means when you added to talent.
Some of them come with a work ethic, Steve. Some of them are just so talented in high school that it comes easy to them, and when they get hit right down the middle of their chest by somebody that's bigger and stronger than them, their eyes roll back and say, and all we do is look at them and say, welcome to college football. But it's about them having a selfless attitude towards doing what they need to do to be the best they can be. It's a John Wooden thing. Success is being able to look yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and say, I did what I needed to do to be the best that I could be today. and you don't look back, you don't look too far forward. And that's something we embrace. Humans worry, and sometimes you worry about the past, sometimes you worry about the future, when the only thing you have is right now, and they've embraced that as well. But we're also a group that, when we have our entire roster on campus, there's 85 of us, and we can be an agent of change on this campus in terms of how you act, how you react, and that agent of change could go one way or the other. And we're fortunate that even though we have the 18 to 23 year old male animal isn't the smartest guy in the world, all right, and I'm not sure when we actually achieve intelligence, but the young men on our team, and it's guided by our leaders, our older guys, they are good at making the right choices. And I always tell them, think twice. I don't want them to think twice on the field, because then you get caught. But you know, on campus, with what they perceive as free time, be smart with your time, and be a leader. And sometimes being a leader is being uncomfortable in a situation where you might know what's right, and what's right might not be the most popular thing in the world, but it is what's right. And we've come a long way with that. And I can't say we'll ever rest, because it's something we always reinforce. But it's the vision of this program is a collective vision, and our coaches have embraced it, and our players have embraced it. And it's our challenge to keep it going by continuing to recruit. I know people have asked me, said, "Well, you're finished recruiting." I said, "No, we're not. We're recruiting the next class, and you can't rest."
No, that you can't rest in this. One final thing, then I'll let you go. I brought this up with Dave Paulson the other day, and I'll bring it up with you. I was at a talk 2 years ago, I was at a talk 4 years ago that included Joe Paterno and Mike Krzyzewski together. And Mike Krzyzewski brought up the subject of leadership, which you just brought up. And Joe was, of course, strongly felt about the leadership component. And he said there were certain times, even at Duke, where he felt he had to lead. And then there were other moments when he had, like, a Shane Battier, where he could really just concentrate on coaching, because a guy like Battier took care of some of those other things. Are you at a stage now with your current group where Joe Susan can be concentrate as much coaching as possible, because you know you have some guys in the locker room that can take care of certain things that allow you to do more of the coaching part of it?
You know, it's interesting when you say that, because we're in a league that does not redshirt. So I had a senior meeting last Sunday, and I asked, how many of you guys are 23? Nobody raised their hands. So they're actually moving away from us when they're a little bit younger. But the core of what that senior group showed the junior group, and I tell my guys all the time, you don't need to be a senior to be a leader. You have to have some courage to do what's right. We've got more of that, but believe me, until now, tomorrow morning at 6, some of those guys are going to raise to the surface. We set the tone. They embrace the tone. And when we can feel comfortable with them, because we have some unique leaders in our weight room so far, we haven't been around this group. When they can do that, it'll be interesting. And that, again, we go back to being good coaches. But the only way you're good coaches is you have good players. We have great people on our team. One thing I when I meet with the incoming recruits, they ask always, how do you pair up the freshman roommates? And I say, well, in the past, they used to put leaders with followers, you know, so they get to know one another and one benefits from the other. I said, we don't do that, because we don't recruit followers. All we recruit is leaders, and that's a tribute to how we recruit, but it's also a tribute to getting to know a young man well before he becomes a senior in high school. And that's, we're focused on the 16s and 17s right now. And, you know, it is an endless process, but it is also one we embrace and enjoy.
Joe, thanks so much. Appreciate it, as always. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us.
It's my pleasure, Steve. It's good to talk to both of you guys. I'm actually heading down to Atlantic City tomorrow, but I am going to be speaking on creating a game plan, not going anywhere near the casinos, because anytime I go to any of those places, I should just drop my money off and walk away, because I'm not real good at that stuff, and nor do I care to be.
No, I don't care to be either, because I think if I ever did, it would be a show as to whether watching me drop the money there or putting it in the parking lot and burning it. What's the better show?
That's right.
The good news is, Joe, there's not many casinos left to choose from, so you're not going to be
exactly
tempted.
And the good thing about burning it in the parking lot, you get some heat off of it.
That's true.
Hey, be safe in your travels,
Thank
Joe.
You, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye.
Joe Susan, head football coach of Bucknell, whose picture on the webpage includes Kevin Herr. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Always good to catch up with Joe Susan. As he's done a tremendous job with Bucknell. It's great news for Bucknell football that the combination of Joe Susan and Bucknell football is extended through 2019. He's done a great job. He has really had to build it. He has had to foundation it. He has had to erect the house on the foundation. And now he's done a great job getting it to the point where every single week Mathewson Stadium becomes a really exciting place to be. So,
I said the other day, I'm going to really enjoy the next 4 years of conversations I have with him. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we'll get his take on his end of it later.
May not feel the same. I don't know.
Well, all I know is that it's just, the picture of the two of you together, you interviewing him, I think enhanced his profile. Leave it at that. You left.
I'm still here.
Tim Frazier, by the way, is now in the NBA. Tim Frazier, the former Nittany Lion, has signed a 10-day contract with the Philadelphia 76ers. He was having a great year in the D League. And he's going to go from the D League where he was playing at Delaware to the Sixers. Now, he was with the Sixers summer league team, and then he was in the Celtics training camp. And went to the D League. And so, yeah, that's great for him. And, yeah, it's great for Penn State, but it's great for him. I'm glad, for Tim, it's been a hard road. You know, with the Achilles. I mean, that's a hard injury to come back from. And he was able to, last year, I'd say 75%. And then to his, then he got into the camps. He did well, and good for Tim Frazier. So he's with the Philadelphia 76ers. Could be worse. Could be with the Knicks. but you know what? Like Mike Muscala, he ends up in the big show. Yeah, it's kind of neat. See, with the way Mike got to the Atlanta Hawks. Now Tim's with the Philadelphia 76ers. And he'll do well. The one area he's got to be better, he's got to be a better outside shooter. A better outside shooter. And that's always been the thing with Tim. For example, you take when with the Achilles injury? Like, what affects him with the Achilles injury? Well, you know, the ability to push off, get that step. You know, when he was a junior, he could blow by all five guys and get to the bucket. Well, when he was a senior coming off that injury, he could get by the first three and couldn't get by the last two. And now he's got more of that blow-by speed that he had before. Also, if you're on a floater, you got to get a little elevation on your floater. And when he gets the elevation on the floater, right, if you were coming off an Achilles, you can't quite get the elevation you once had on that. It just takes some time. That's a hard injury to come back from. Very hard injury. And he's brought himself back, and now he has a 10-day contract with the Philadelphia 76ers. Like the last Nittany Lion on a NBA roster. And Chris Babb doesn't count. I mean, Chris Babb was with the Celtics. He played 2 years at Penn State and then his last two at Iowa State. Would be Calvin Booth. Joe Crispin, of course, did it. John Amici did it. And now Tim Frazier. The way he's playing this 10-day contract, I think he's going to go a lot longer than 10 days. He was playing really well in the D-League. Kevin, you could get to the D-League.